the splendor of the King. Holy majesty, all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all we see, how great
Lord Jesus, we just come before you tonight. We worship you and we praise you and we honor you. And we just pray that you would meet with us here, that your spirit would move, that we would learn from you, that we would grow in you, that you would bless your word as it's spoken tonight, and that it would make its way into our hearts and into our minds and begin to take root. God, you know each one of our needs. You know where we're at in our faith. And we pray that you would meet those needs here tonight in some way, that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and meet those needs. Help us to hear. Help us to know. Help us to understand. Help us to be still in your presence, God. Just know that you are there. that you care, that you love us, each one, and we thank you for that tonight. We thank you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These things that we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to recite together the first eight verses of Psalm 44 as it comes up on the screen here in just a moment. Psalm 44, verses 1 through 8. Here we go. We've heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my king and my God who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we pushed back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Amen. Amen. Good and does good things and shares good things with us. God is good. You know what? I want to pray again just over this message tonight because I got a few notes here, but I was telling my wife before I came in here that I might go off script tonight, so let's see where this goes. But I want God to speak to us tonight through his word and teach us and help us to grow and to know and to understand who he is in our lives, that we might become just stronger in our faith in him and trust him more and more. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just pray your blessing over your word tonight. You've promised that as it goes out, it will not return void. And in that, we believe that you will speak to us through your word, each one of us, maybe even in a different way, but you will speak to each one of us through your word as you see need and as you see fit. And so we give you this time, we give you our attention. God, I give you my time and I give you my attention. I pray that you'd speak through me and speak to us tonight. And these things we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Continuing in Matthew chapter 6, I am going to pick up there for us. We've been talking about prayer. And tonight, my message is titled, Your Way, Not Mine. Your Way, Not Mine. And I can say that for me, coming to a place where I can honestly say, God, Your Way, Not Mine, he and I have wrestled over that at times in my life, and as I've gotten older and as I've walked with him longer, I've come more and more to a place where it's just true. God, your way, not mine. And to some degree, it's having come to that place where I realize, after trying so many times on my own to do it my way, his way is just better. His way works. His way is fulfilling. His way is not always easy, but it is always best, always best. And so as Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray, we've been walking through the Lord's Prayer now for a few weeks. And we've read from Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 9, Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And he continues on, and the next part after that says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." To pray that prayer and to truly mean it means that I have to have a level of trust, a level of belief, a level of faith, and a level of surrender that I'm personally not capable of on my own. The world, my own human nature, wants to hang on to my own autonomy, wants to hang on to my own will, wants to claim some kind of self-sufficiency. And yet, as Paul came to a place in his life, in his ministry, where he said, "Yet not I, but Christ in me, I will boast not in my strengths, not in my knowledge, not in my ability to know God's word, but I will boast in my weakness, for in my weakness Christ is made strong." Your kingdom come. God is establishing his kingdom. He has been, he always will be. And it is a future consummation that will come when he brings heaven down to earth and he makes all things right and he makes all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. It is a future consummation. It is also a past reality that his kingdom has been at work in the world since the beginning of time, since he created all things. But it is also a present reality, his kingdom. Jesus said, "His kingdom has come. The time is right. Repent, be baptized, be saved." He preached that gospel and shared it with people, the freedom, the healing, the salvation, the growth in faith that comes from a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Your kingdom come, not mine, not the kingdoms of this world, not the things that we would want to build up and take credit for. You know, we spend a lot of time building up our own little kingdoms in different ways. Building up our own little kingdoms, again, things that we could take credit for ourselves or places where we can feel comfortable. And God says, "I want you to feel comfortable in my presence. Your home is in my kingdom. This world is not your home." And as close as you might be to some friends and to some family, and as close as we might be as a body of Christ, he wants to be closer to us than that. He uses that as his presence in our lives, but his kingdom is our home. And I think that we need to get a healthy, healthy understanding, and not just an understanding, a healthy sense of the reality of this kingdom that God is establishing, that it is more real than this world that we live in. And to some people that might sound kind of type of, you know, thing. But you know, God created us as spiritual beings. He created us for a world in which we are not living right now. God, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. May my home reflect your kingdom. May my life reflect your kingdom. May our church reflect your kingdom. All of the places that we go and the things that we do, may they reflect your kingdom, God. And your will be done, not mine. God, your will be done. C.S. Lewis wrote, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. It is easy to say you believe a rope to be strong, as long as you're merely using it to tie up a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a cliff, wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? How much do I trust God?" And he proves himself over and over and over again to me, in the lives of people around me, in the world around me. God proves himself over and over and over again. It takes a level of trust, a level of belief, and it's something I know that God has been working on in my own heart and in my own life. Do I trust him with every little thing, every little part of my life? To ask him, even though I know that he knows what I need before I ask, to talk with him, to ask him where he wants me and what he wants to do in me and through me, and be willing to submit to that fully and always. So here's the part that I kind of wrestled with, wondered about sharing tonight, when I should share it. But this is how it came to me as I was praying and talking to God. When did we stop believing, if we ever really did, that God is fully capable, that he is able? In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." Do you hear that? He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine through his power that's at work in us. What does he want to do in our lives? What does he want to do in our church? What does he want to do in my life? If I'm spending so much time constructing my own kingdoms and taking credit for things that are going on around me, how will I ever see and hear what it is, that thing that is that I couldn't even think of asking for, that thing is that is unimaginable? How will I ever know or hear what it is that God wants me to do or say, or where he wants me to be? When did we stop believing, if we ever really did fully believe, that God is fully capable and that his word is true? That it's not just an addition to some other great ideas that might be coming down the pipe. That it's not something that we might turn to just in those times of need or those times when we can't find any other answer, but it is truth. There is nothing that can happen in our lives that we can't find the answer for in God's word and in the life of his son, Jesus. Nothing. That his word is truth. John 17 and verse 17, as Jesus is praying, he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. When did we stop believing, if we ever really did fully believe, that God is fully capable, that he is able, that his word is truth, and that Jesus, as the embodiment of God's word, that he is all sufficient, that he is everything that we need. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us that for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All the fullness of the deity lives in Jesus. He is the embodiment of the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus the Christ, our Savior and our Lord. When did we stop believing that he is all sufficient? If we ever really did fully believe. And when did we stop believing, if we ever really did fully believe, that the Holy Spirit has the will and the power to transform and sustain the lives of people? The Holy Spirit has the will and the power to transform and sustain the lives of people. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." To just see and hear so many things going on in the world around us and in the lives of people, even in the lives of people who have professed faith in Jesus, where God and his word and the sufficiency of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit lack evidence in their lives, in the life of the church sometimes, because they've become kind of an add-on. And he needs to become first. He wants to be first. And I know as I share this, and this is basically the way that God spoke to me as I was praying and listening to him. When did we stop believing, if we really ever did fully believe? And of course, at first I'm thinking to myself, well, I believe. And I know that we learn to grow in our faith and we learn to grow in our trust and in our belief. I realize that. I understand that. And God, by his grace, works with us in those things. But there has to be in our lives and in our hearts this continual surrendering of who I am to who I know him to be. And as I get to know him, he reveals more to me about myself and more of himself to me. And I have to continue to give those things to him. And you realize at a point in time in your life that it is just absolutely exhausting to try to hang on to these things, to try to do these things on our own. And we come up with all of these self-help ideas and things like that. And some of them work. And the ones that do, I could tell you, if they're not already based in Scripture, the ideas are pulled from the Scriptures. God came up with it first. He's come up with it all first. It's just people that take it and slice it and dice it and pull it apart and separate it from God and try to make it work without the living, breathing God at work in and through his word, in and through his church, in and through the people of God. We can't do it on our own, which is why Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father in heaven, to speak those words is to know that he loves and cares about each one of us like we are his own children, because we are. Hallowed be your name. You are holy. And in my life, I will honor you as holy. I will treat you as holy. I will hold you up as holy. because you alone are worthy of my praise and my worship. Father, I trust you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, when the angels come before God and God says, do this, they do it immediately, no questions asked. We even see a picture in Scripture where Satan comes before God because he has to ask permission of God to do the things that he does in the world. And he says, consider your servant Job. If you take your hand of protection off of him and you allow me to have at him, he will not praise you anymore. Even Satan has to ask for permission to go and tempt and to test God's man, Job. In heaven, things happen at God's word. They happen as he speaks them out. And we see that in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, the creation story, is God says, let there be light, and there was light. And each thing that he created, he spoke a word and it happened. On earth as it is in heaven, oh, that the church, that we, his people, would pray that prayer and mean it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, when you speak, I will answer. God, if it says it in your word, I will do it. And I trust you, God, to be the power and the strength and all that I need to live a life that is holy and pleasing to you and to accomplish the things that you've asked me to accomplish for your kingdom's sake and for the sake of other people whom you love as dearly as you love me and everyone else. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not an impersonal, generic prayer, kind of an outline that we can just use and... That's not what this is. Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's teaching us to pray. It is a commitment to allow God to work in and through your life, through the life of the church, God's people. And we are going on this journey of becoming more and more like Christ, of being disciples and making disciples. We are on this journey together. And I can tell you, God is working on me, speaking into my mind and into my heart, revealing some things to me about myself that I didn't even realize before or didn't click with me. And I hope that he's doing that with you as well. He will, if you'll allow him to. And it takes time, and it takes dedication, discipline, it takes prayer and being in the Word, it takes thinking about things that you've read, thinking about things that you've heard. It takes having some conversations with one another. You know that word in Scripture where it says, talks about having fellowship together. Fellowship isn't just about sitting around and eating food, laughing and joking together. It's about coming together in the name of Jesus and talking about the things that Jesus is doing in our lives and encouraging one another in those things. And also to be sharing with one another the things that God, or the things that we might be hearing or thinking, and we can help each other to understand maybe a little bit better, or to see maybe how our thinking is going a little bit off in the wrong direction. God's word is great for that, and prayer is great for that. Sometimes thinking about it and having a conversation, Marcy and I will sit and talk about the things that we've read in our devotional. We don't do our disciplines devotional together, but we're doing the same devotional. And so I'll ask her, what did you think of that reading for today? Or what did you think of that passage of scripture? And we'll begin to talk about it and how it's impacting our lives and how it might apply to our lives and how we might put it into practice, not only in our own home, but then as we go out into the world, and the impact and the effects that it's having on us. But it takes time. It takes setting aside time. It means pushing some other things off to the side and just putting Jesus right in the center of everything that we do so that he might have his way in our lives and in our hearts and in our homes and in our church and in our community. And I want to challenge you with that tonight. Just continue to challenge you to surrender, to call on his name, to listen for his voice, to be in his word, to do good things for other people, to speak kind words. And a great place for us to practice some of that stuff is right here. Right here. I've been so blessed to see God at work in some people's lives over the last few weeks. I've been so blessed to hear a few people speaking words of encouragement or words of blessing over others. I'm so encouraged and blessed to hear those things, because when those things are happening, I know that the fruit of the Spirit are evident in people's lives, and I know that God is at work and people are surrendering to him and allowing him to work in their lives. Let's do that. Let's do that. And let us cultivate a culture of prayer here. Prayer is so vital, so important to the life of the church. I can tell you, after being in this church for almost 30 years now, I can tell you that when things have happened, when things have seemed to grow, explode, change for the good, impact happening, it's when people have taken the time and dedicated themselves to prayer. It's always happened that way. I know Charles Spurgeon talked about, as he would stand in his pulpit and preach on a Sunday morning, I forget what nickname he gave them, but there was a group of men that basically would be meeting in the boiler room right below him. And while he's preaching, they're praying. While he's spreading the word, sharing the gospel, they're praying that that gospel is going to impact people's lives. They're praying for strength and for wisdom and victory, praying. Let us be a people of prayer. Not just a people that pray, but a praying people, becoming a part of who we are. So let's do that tonight. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, first of all, we just take this moment. We just take this moment to humble ourselves before your throne of grace. And we say to you, God, I surrender all. All that I am, all that I have, it is yours. You have given those things to us, that they are yours. Would you direct our steps? Would you give us wisdom and discernment as we steward those gifts and those resources that you've given to us? Lord, we need you in our lives. Not just on Sunday morning, not just in our prayer and devotional time in the mornings, But we need you in our lives every moment of every day, directing our steps. God, we see the world around us going the places that you've told us in your word that it's going to go. And we don't know how much time is left, and we don't know how much further it has to go before you decide to bring your kingdom, the new creation of heaven and earth, to fruition. We don't know that. But you have called us to be faithful in the midst of that. And we know that to be faithful, we need your faithfulness to us. The power and the presence of your Holy Spirit in us. And so we pray for that today. A fullness of your Holy Spirit in our lives. That you would fill us up. That we would serve out of fullness. That we would share the gospel out of fullness. That we would live our lives and conduct ourselves out of the fullness of your Spirit and not out of emptiness, which only becomes our own power and our own pride. God, I pray against pride tonight in Jesus' name. I pray that you would tear down that pride in each one of our lives, however large or small it might be. I pray that you would tear down those kingdoms that we have been building up and taking credit for. I pray that you would tear those things down in our lives, that we would live in your kingdom fully, both feet planted in the kingdom of God, our Father, who is in heaven. Holy is your name. And you have called us holy, set apart for you, set apart for your kingdom, set apart for your service. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. It's made all this possible. Your love, your grace. We pray for lost and broken people tonight. There are so many people we come across who are just hurting. They don't know you. They don't know how to heal or to find freedom. We pray for them tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray for Jason tonight. We lift him up to you. We pray for Josh tonight, who we found out is struggling with depression and even possibly thinking that it would be better if he just wasn't alive anymore. We just lift him up and pray over him tonight in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit would minister to him, that you would cross his path with somebody who could love him and care for him and help him to break this cycle of depression, to break this cycle of anger. For those who are living in fear, fear of so many different things, God, we've become a people who are just so afraid of everything around us. We pray against fear, and especially fear in your church, the people of God. We have nothing to fear, for you are with us. And as Paul said, and we claim that scripture tonight as truth, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This world is not our home. We have another place that we will live forever. Another way that we will live forever. And again, we just plant our feet in your kingdom tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit as you've sent him down to be with us and to live in us. We pray for all of the conflict, the war, the violence that's happening around the world tonight in Jesus' name, and we just claim peace. We pray for peace. God, we pray that we would be instruments of peace as we go out into the world one person at a time, one day at a time. Lord, that we would be peace and we would be a joyful presence in the world around us. That we would live such good lives among our unbelieving neighbors, that they would see our good works, and though they may accuse us, they would praise you when you return. It is only by your power and only by your strength that these things are available to us and that we are able to live in such a way. Help us to follow in Jesus' footsteps and to be servants. Servants to one another and servants to our neighbors. Those people we see in need, God, may you help us help them. We pray for those who are on the front lines, who are trying to give mothers who are thinking about terminating their pregnancy, give them options. We pray for those who are working on the front lines, trying to promote life and save lives. We pray protection and provision over them tonight. We especially pray for options tonight. For Rhonda and all of those that work with her down there, we lift them up to you and pray over them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, for the work that they're doing. And if you would call any one of us to be a part of that, God, would you just make it very clear to us? We pray for the Red House of Hope, who is connecting people with resources to help them in their time of need. Following your will for them, God, we pray that you would help us to partner with and them to partner with us and us to work together as the body of Christ to help people to overcome hurts, hang-ups, and habits. We pray over those women and those men at Arbor Place who are going through and taking those steps towards sobriety, toward recovery. We lift them up to you tonight. And we pray, God, that you would just give them strength. God, that you would give them a discipline in their lives. And we pray more than anything that each one of them might come to a place in their lives where they have faith in Jesus. For our brothers and sisters who join us at Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights, we pray for them in Jesus' name. We pray healing and freedom and recovery over their lives. I just especially thank you and pray for those who lead that ministry in our church, who volunteer and help. For our kids and for our teens running around here tonight, we pray your blessing over them. That they would hear your word, that they would respond to your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Show us where to go. Show us what to do. Give us the determination. We know that you'll provide what we need wherever we would go in your name. That you've called us and paved the road for us. God, we just pray tonight that you would show us where to go and show us what to do. And we just want to fall more in love with you each day. We just want to hear your voice more clearly each and every day. You are our God and we are your people. You are our Father and we are your children. And we are so grateful and so thankful tonight. And so as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, so we pray together tonight. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's been good to be with you tonight. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week.